There is a picture of Jesus, an image or a tendency to think of him, and even his name, which is so common, more common than just about any other mental referent to the name Jesus, which not only does it not really do us any favors, because it isn't the real ultimate Jesus, but it's completely unbiblical. And it makes coming to certain texts in the Bible quite difficult. What do you do with this Jesus here in Luke chapter 13? This is not the Jesus so sweet and so mild and so kind, never one to raise his voice or confront anyone or condemn anyone. This is not Jesus, the good moral teacher who just wants us all to get along. This is a scary Jesus. We wrestled with this a bit this past summer in Bible study as we moved through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, which has some of this same language. Language about the wide path and the narrow path. Here, we're dealing with a wide or narrow door. But the point is still the same. Jesus, while he is ultimately more loving than we are, right? Not one of us is even close to as loving as Jesus. But that doesn't mean we would think he's nice. We really wouldn't. What he says, we Americans today, we would call this mean, what he says. Someone asks him a simple question, you know, is there going to be a lot of people saved or not? And he proceeds to tell that guy, well, maybe not you. That's basically what he says. So you should watch out. Well, that wasn't nice at all. But it was true. And it wasn't true because Jesus had some eternal desire to damn that guy. It's because the question itself is a question that would lead to unbelief, which is, dear Jesus, I'm doing pretty well, right? That's really what he asked. I'm doing good, right? Not like those others. What about them, though? Talk about them, not me. And to that mentality, Jesus says you should be pretty careful, buddy. Watch out. Do you really believe? Are you sure? Now, Jesus doesn't say that to those who cry out for mercy. Blind beggar by the side of the road, son of David, have mercy. Jesus is like, wherever I'm going, I'm done now. I'm going to help him. That's the image we like of Jesus, too, right? The one who goes and helps and aids and saves. But we have to see that these are both the same man. And don't miss that. Man, human, man, male, guy. He's the whole package. And he doesn't dance around issues that endanger the faith of others. So when this person asks this question, he goes straight at it. He says, look, you should not be worried about other people's faith. Not in a sense where you're pretty confident of your own in such a way that you're pointing the finger at them and asking how many of them are going to be damned, how many of them are going to be saved. It's the wrong agenda. If you want to think about something, think about what salvation is, where you actually find it. If you want to know about what all those other people need, the answer is they need you to believe so firmly you don't ask God about what's going to happen to them, but you go and tell them what God has done for them in Christ. Now, I've summarized the whole thing already. But his answer is one that we should ponder at least for a moment. Strive to enter the narrow door. Many will try. They will not be able. The master will shut the door. They'll stand outside. They'll say, Lord, open the door. He'll say, I don't have a clue who you are. And they will say, yes, you do. You ate and drank in our presence. You taught in our streets. In Matthew, they say it this way. Did we not perform many miracles and speak prophecies in your name and cast out demons in your name? Dear Lord Jesus, weren't we your people and your church? And he will say, I don't know where you come from. Go away, you workers of iniquity. And that place they go away, weeping, gnashing of teeth, right? That's hell. That's hell. And yet, part of hell is seen. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, all believers of old, and people from east and west, north and south. That's you, it's Gentiles. The nations who believe in Christ. They will see those who are in the narrow door, which is the wounds of Jesus. They will see them at the feast, at the table, where the flesh and blood of Christ are given eternally. Some are first who will be last, some are last who will be first. That means do not think you're in front of the line or the back of the line. Know that it's a level playing field. You are a sinner, poor, miserable, broken, useless, worthless, self-centered, curved in on yourself, arrogant, always putting everything in your own agenda. And Jesus loves you anyway, and died for you anyway, and covers it all. That's the narrow door. Knowing that narrow door, we are then inspirited, we are inspired to look upon those just like us in every way, only perhaps with different agendas. Just like us as those in need of the very same thing we're in need, which is not for us to be nice per se. Don't want to be mean on purpose, I'm not saying that. Not for us to be nice per se, but for us to forgive, for us to love, for us to speak the truth about the centrality of the body and blood of Jesus as the salvation of mankind. The bit about believing you're in the body of Jesus when you're not, that's terrifying. And it shouldn't terrify you because of anybody else. So if you hear that, and you hear me speaking this, and you think, oh, I know who he's thinking about. No, you don't. Well, maybe you do. I'm thinking about myself. Shouldn't I first fear lest I be found believing? What good does it do to point the finger at others? I should worry lest I, having preached to you, be found unworthy, without faith myself. Paul says this. And so he strives ahead for the goal of grace and the upward call of God in Christ. Which is not to say that you should fear whether or not you're actually saved. You shouldn't fear that. You should know that. With all certainty, you are baptized into Jesus. And when you know you're baptized into Jesus, when you feast upon the blood of Jesus, when you have the absolution or even just the proclaimed gospel from the sent pastor, well, then there is no doubt that you are in Christ. But when you ask, am I in Christ because of me? Well, then you have every reason to doubt. Or when you ask, what makes me different from them? Well, then you have every reason to doubt. When you look at yourself, the proper Christian response is fear, for you have in yourself the power to cast it all away. But the good news of Christianity is that it's God's plan to not let you do that. He doesn't want you to do that. And so he sent his only begotten Son into the world to save it and not condemn it. And that's what he's done on the cross for you. So what I can tell you for certain about these to whom he will say, I don't know who you are, and they say, but we knew you, we knew you, we knew you. What I can say for certain is that they did not know him because they had a false Jesus. They had a Jesus who was not the Jesus of Scripture. And we, as a congregation, right now, for us and our future and our children and all of Rockford, ought to be concerned that we strive to have the right Jesus. And the right Jesus is the one who has baptized you, who feeds you, whose word will outlast all things. All men are like grass, and their beauty like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the words of Jesus remain forever. In the name of Jesus, amen.